This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 19th, 2006. I'm Jen Rourke. Coming up, 6 months after a radioactive spill into an Illinois community's water supply, residents are still trying to decide whether they can trust the nearby nuclear power station. And a look at your AM 580 forecast. But first, today's news. Urbana Mayor Laurel Pressing says criticism of a proposed police-civilian review board at a public hearing last night isn't turning her away from the idea. About three-quarters of the 20 people attending the hearing spoke out against having a separate panel to hear complaints about police conduct. They praised Urbana police officers and said the panel would be a drain on city resources that could be used to hire more officers. But Pressing says the review board would actually help improve police relations with the public, and she doesn't think it would be a drain on city resources.
This is not something that's going to be, you know, taking huge amounts of time, huge amounts of money. Very large cities like San Jose, California, had 20 complaints. So I think this is something that's going to be unusual to have a complaint that is not resolved properly and that the board has to deal with.
Pressing says the city council will continue to hear public comment on the police review board proposal at its regular meetings, and she says the proposal could be revised. Pressing suggests the review board's performance should be up for review itself after 1 year, with police having a voice in the review. Dan Rutherford says people often have to wait too long at driver services facilities. The Republican candidate says things would go quicker if they could make appointments, but the incumbent Secretary of State disagrees. Amanda Vinicki reports.
State Senator Dan Rutherford says today, when you go to a DMV...
You walk in, you get a number, you sit there in a cold plastic chair, and then eventually you'll get your turn to go up there and get your type of service taken care of.
The Republican says if he's elected the next Secretary of State, he would allow people to make appointments either online or by telephone. Rutherford says the pre-booked slots would likely cut the waiting time for walk-ins also. But Democrat Jesse White, who's finishing his second term as Secretary of State, says the office researched the idea but found it wouldn't help. His spokesman, Randy Nert.
Oftentimes when people make appointments, they still end up waiting in a doctor's office or other business, you know, maybe 15 minutes to an hour past their appointment time.
He says White will continue to look for ways to better customer service if he's reelected. I'm Amanda Vinicki.
Two candidates for an open Illinois Senate seat want to dip into separate funds to reimburse doctors for Medicaid payments. 52nd District Democrat Mike Freericks says an improving fiscal picture in the state, aided by growth in tax revenues, will yield more than $1 billion in base revenues. He says those dollars can pay back health care providers and restore service to Medicaid patients that are being turned away because of a backlog in payments owed to doctors and clinics. He says in the past, those revenues have been earmarked for pork projects that shouldn't be the top priority.
Before we take on new spending, the state needs to meet its obligations to people who provide services for the state and the people who work for the state in terms of pension payments. I think there are capital projects out there that the state needs to fund, but to do that requires a capital bill. For the last 3 years, the state has been unable to pass such a bill. And I think that's separate from paying our bills on time.
Freerick's opponent, Republican Judy Myers, says the plan hinges on funds that were raided from Illinois' pension system and are already earmarked for various projects. Myers says the state should use a $276 million rainy day fund to reimburse Medicaid payments. She says such a move would provide a dollar-for-dollar match in federal funds and process payments twice as fast as her opponent's plan. The idea of a bar and restaurant smoking ban was formally discussed for the first time yesterday at a Danville City Council committee meeting. And Mayor Scott Eisenhower used most of his time before the ordinance subcommittee to remind members how preliminary the discussion was. Eisenhower said he wanted to lay to rest the idea that the Danville City Council was about to vote on a smoke-free ordinance.
There is absolutely no proposed ordinance on the table. This is a discussion. There are no sides being taken. It is an open dialogue by the community on this issue.
The city of Danville is currently taking public input on the smoking ban idea through a community-wide survey and a public hearing scheduled for August 15th. Mayor Eisenhower says he wants the city council to hear a complete public discussion before it holds any discussion of its own about a smoke-free ordinance. The mayor says he wants the council to react to the community sentiment and not any outside group. Mike Spizak of the Vermilion County Bar Association says he likes the way Danville officials are approaching the smoke-free issue, but he says he'd oppose any ban on smoking in Danville bars. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jen Rourke. Communities near Will County's Braidwood Nuclear Power Station have been reeling from troubling news this year. The station leaked tritium, a mild radioactive chemical, into area groundwater. Government agencies insist public health was not jeopardized, but the revelations caught the attention of residents in Braidwood, Godley, and surrounding areas. 6 months later, the communities are moving on with an uneasy mix of fear, optimism, and resolve. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Ali has our story.
Braidwood has 5,000 residents, but soon it will lose two of them. Gene and Brian Bickford stack magazines, furniture, and toys under their driveway. What do you got here?
Oh, well, we have all kinds of things to sell. These are Legos.
Turns out they're not just selling the Legos. They're selling the house, too. Brian Bickford tells me it's a touchy subject. They planted the for sale sign just months after news that tritium leaked from the nuclear power plant 2 miles away. Here's the first word he got from the operator, Exelon.
These folks wrote us a letter telling us that there is no tritium in your water. Aren't you relieved? Which immediately sparked our curiosity. Why would we be suspicious that this product was in our water?
And a new poster sprung up at Village Hall. It said Braidwood's water was safe.
And that stayed up for well over a month.
You tend to be suspicious because you think that the lady doth protest too much.
Last winter, Exelon needed to get in front of the news, and fast. The company told residents and government agencies that in the past 9 years, the station leaked tritium 22 times. It turned up in a private well in the township, and it also got into 2 nature preserves. But Brian Bickford thinks buyers will look past the headlines.
We don't anticipate property values will be hurt by the nuclear reactor plant or the water issue. Just haven't had any discussion around town about this.
Are you looking for anything in particular?
People arrive to comb through the Bickford's treasures, so I head to another town even closer to the plant. But I wonder, have people really not talked about this, like Brian Bickford said? Other people tell me everyone's talking about it. So I meet a pro, a realtor named Melanie Tuvel. She started her real estate business a month before the news broke.
Honestly, when I was sitting at home at 10 o'clock at night and I seen them talk about tritium, I mean, my stomach sunk. I thought, oh my God, I just opened my business. What am I going to do? This is going to affect the entire community. It's going to affect more than just Godly. It is going to have such a negative impact. And I mean, I was just sick. And we kept drudging on doing what we had planned on doing. And we're busier than what we can possibly handle.
Tuvel expects Godly will attract homeowners despite the tritium issue. But many residents worry they could suffer from a major accident. Most drinking wells are shallow, and some are already contaminated with nitrates and septic bacteria. Godly President Michael Valeriano tells me he's searching for a solution. We chat just after Valeriano's shift at a construction job in Joliet.
People in town are hearing words that they've never heard before. Tritium and other types of radionuclides. Not everybody here is a scientist or is caught up on things like that. And now they hear these words and they know they need to be afraid of them, but they don't know why.
But Valeriano says the company's on the right track now. It's got a plan to pull tritium out of local groundwater. And it's talking about getting a new water supply for Godly.
We're at a point now to where they are getting closer to making a commitment to helping us with this, just to ease the public's mind.
And lastly, the company's publicly apologized. And for some people, that's enough. Kerry Sharp lives east of the plant. He tells me he calls his wooded homestead God's country. His well is safe, but he says the clean bill of health did not bring much peace.
The biggest problem with things right now is that the media has blown this thing totally out of proportion.
Recently, he's tried calming things a bit.
And you got to look at the big picture. I look around and see all the things that that power plant has done for this area.
Sharp recounts things that Exelon's hefty property taxes fund, things like a first-class fire station, a library, parks, and by all accounts, great schools. But for some people, none of that absolves the company's handling of tritium. Where are the activists dealing with this issue? When I ask that, people reply, "Did you talk to Joe yet?" They mean Joe Cosgrove, the director of the Godley Park District. When I meet him, he shies away from the activist label, but he does offer me a manila folder stuffed with documents. He's got more, he says. I ask whether the tritium news has been overblown.
If you think that there was too much hype or whatever, I'll offer to take you down to the kitchen and draw you a glass of water. And if you just want to take a drink of water with no qualms, that's fine with me. If you look at that glass of water and you have to think about it, then think about it. Everybody in this community, when they turn on a tap, they have to think, is it safe?
Cosgrove says that kind of doubt amounts to real harm. Only disclosure and safety at the power plant can overcome it. I'm Sean Ali.
And now a look at your WILL AM 580 forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, mostly sunny, hot and humid, the high 91. Winds becoming southeasterly at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tonight, mainly clear, the low 72. Wind southerly at 8 to 16 miles per hour. Tomorrow, hazy, hot, and humid, with thunderstorms possible during the afternoon. The high 93. Wind southwesterly at 10 to 15 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for July 19th, 2006. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jen Rourke, AM 580 News.